Conversations of Brick, Brock, and Berkov. Grignan, the Dumas Mill, Friday, November 13, 1834, 11:05 p.m. In the crucible of a moonless night, the storm raged like a wild beast around the mill. Calixte Dumas was alone. The lightning, struggling to pierce the deep darkness, streaked across the sky, momentarily illuminating chaotic scenes with a stark white light before plunging them back into darkness. The wind howled through the surrounding trees, turning the forest into a tumultuous sea of shifting silhouettes. Inside, the gusts shook the bastide. Calixte felt them like an inner tremor. He had spent most of his life in this place. The creaking of the wooden beams echoed through the space, producing a disquieting melody that blended the hymn of natural forces with the steady hum of the resilient mill wheel. Calixte knew that, while robust, the structures could not withstand such force for long. Suddenly, a deep rumbling noise rose, louder than the howling wind, an acute, relentless threat. Until that moment, the Barra River had been a gentle stream meandering through the rural landscape. Now, it had transformed into a monster, a raging torrent swallowing everything in its path with blind fury. At the entrance to the basin, several trees suddenly collapsed with a thunderous crash into the water. From the first floor window, Calixte watched the turbulent waters escaping from their bed. They threatened to flood the surrounding land. On the front line stood the Bastide itself. Every second counted. The mass of water drew dangerously close to the mill's foundations. The stone walls seemed to tremble before the relentless rise of the destructive tide. Calixte had to face reality. The basin was on the verge of overflowing. The safety overflow drains were already expelling vertiginous torrents of water. He realized that alone, without help, the battle was already lost. Amédée, his brother, had left for Carcassonne a few days earlier. He had been invited to present his elixirs of love, which he produced in his Manda laboratory, at an important meeting of alchemists. Earlier that day, his wife, Marie-Thérèse, had gone to visit her sister in Montélimar, accompanied by their two daughters, Anne and Marie. Given the raging storm, their visit would be extended. Calixte felt reassured, knowing the three of them would be warm and safe for the night. It was one less thing to worry about. But his obsessive concern was the basin. How long would it hold before being engulfed? He rushed to the edge of the basin, hoping to find a way to divert the massive influx of water. He could clearly see the elements making up the mill's structure, as well as the banks, now cluttered with half-torn branches and uprooted trees. Calixte felt at his limit. The river's rage did not relent. He crouched on the jetty, isolated and powerless. If only I had 5 or 6 men with me, we could build a dam together and divert the water to the fields below. If we were several, we could save the mill. Calixte lost all hope. Suddenly, a presence manifested a few meters away from him on the riverbank. Time and water bow before the human spirit, but only if it aligns with nature. Of course, that requires a well-placed paw. Ha 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 ha.
"What? Who's there? Are you drowning? Are you okay?" shouted Calixte.
"Drown? Us? Ah, no. Not a chance." The voice, coming from nowhere, sounded strange. Calixte scanned his surroundings. In front of him, two silhouettes slowly emerged from the water of the basin, only a few meters away. To his great surprise, he saw two beavers appear, their sleek, glossy fur shining in the dim light. Amused, the two rodents stared at him.
Let's say we're here to observe and enjoy the water show. Rivers have their own wisdom, just like us. We're, in a way, the guardians of this basin. Calixte wondered for a moment. Had he lost his mind? He had always been fascinated by nature, but conversing with beavers. Am I going mad or what? He thought. He glanced around. A third beaver had just joined them, tilting its head. You see, little Miller, harmony between humans and nature is often neglected. If the human mind finds a true balance between rivers and time, wonders can happen. But tonight, the river is not happy. Calixte had to admit he was indeed conversing with three beavers. He threw himself fully into the conversation. As eager as he was, puzzled time was running out, and the risk was high. How do I find this balance? It's simple and complex at the same time. Listen, observe, and above all, let your curiosity guide you. Rivers whisper their secrets or scream their frustration. Just stay tuned to them, declared one beaver, with a smile revealing his sharp teeth. Then, can you help me now? What do you understand from the river tonight? What's going to happen? Asked Calixte. Yes, it would be easy for us to help. By the way, my name is Brick, this is Brock, and that one over there is Berkov. At your service, Captain. Brock wanted to add something. We've lived in the Barra for over 30 generations, so believe me, we know the river's moods. We spend our lives moving tons of wood to make our dams as strong as human stone structures. Berkov, the third beaver, cut him off. All right, let's speed things up. Shut up, Brock. You can tell our life story later. Yes, if the basin overflows, everything is lost for me. Please help me, noble beavers. Let's go, Calixte implored. Oh, slow down, butterfly, interrupted Brock. Brick picked up where Brock left off. Yes, you know, little Miller, you have a magnificent mill here, but we also have our concerns. Normally, when rivers are calm, humans don't really take us seriously. They don't beg us like you are tonight. Berkov watched the water beginning to overflow from the basin, surpassing the safety drains. Can we discuss this later? It's a storm. The basin is overflowing. Hurry, Calixte shouted, panicking. Yes, but have you ever eaten beaver meat pie? Asked Brock, ironically. Help me! This is a nightmare! You're not even real, are you? Calixte cried. Berkov slammed his flat tail hard on the ground. This is no time for cooking debates, Brick. Your plan, now. You're the director of rescue operations, remember? So, your plan now. Yes, a plan to save the mill. I have one. Because the basin is going to overflow. Water. Water everywhere. And you, human, do you prefer your beaver meat pie with water or wine? Because we know that beaver meat is eaten around here, growled Brick. Stop it now! Stop! Berkov shouted at Brick, glaring at him angrily. Enough already! Brick fell silent. Brock had already plunged into the water. Calixte raised his eyes to the starry sky and muttered to himself, Maybe I'm already dead, and the beavers are the court judges of the afterlife? I'm probably paying now for every Sunday beaver meat pie I ever ate. Brick explained, Our plan is to build an enormous dam capable of diverting the river at the entrance to the basin. Nothing too fancy. It's our routine, actually. Calixte stared at him in disbelief. He reluctantly tore his eyes away from the stars and returned, dejected, to the present. But you're just three little creatures. How are you going to move all that wood? Hey now, hold on. We're not that little Miller boy. You want to race us across the pond, Let's see who reaches the other shore first. Brick's impetuosity perhaps explained his snappy retort. Berkov, however, took a more measured tone. Yes, little Miller, it would certainly be difficult for the three of us alone. But why don't you turn around? When he turned around, Calixt saw a true little army of beavers already at work. The rodent soldiers had clearly received instructions from Brock, who had been submerged for some time. Calixte couldn't believe his eyes. Everything was brilliantly organized under the direction of the trio of beaver leaders. Hundreds of beavers were working to save the basin. The areas weakened by the torrents were reinforced with piles of stones sealed with mud. The entire construction was done with improbable speed. One group stocked branches and tree trunks, while another produced wooden building materials. The beavers, organized into specialized teams, knew how to divide tasks according to their anatomical attributes. For the second group, it was their powerful incisors that did the work. A team of strong paws was in charge of stacking the structures that formed the dam. Another team, known for their sensitive claws, tested the water tightness of the elevated sections. Calixte watched the scene unfold. He couldn't resist offering his help. I can help you move the wood. I'll dive in. Those beavers over there by the wall seem to be struggling. No, Miller, replied Berkov. They're not struggling. They're there to float, not move much. They can't do anything else. It lets us monitor the water level from afar. And by the way, they're not beavers. They're nutrias. They come to give us a hand when we need more workers. Floating isn't too complicated, so that's what they do. You're going to sit on the jetty and just watch us. We'd rather have you safe than helpful. How do you humans say it? Stick to your trade? Well, your domain is flour, and ours is water management. By the way, do we have your word? My word? What do you mean, my word? Asked Calixte nervously as he crouched on the jetty. Berkov pressed on. We need your word to make this estate and its basin a permanently protected zone, a promise that you won't eat us, hunt us, or harm our young. A promise to be fair with us, in short. Berkov had lost his playful tone. His two small black eyes gleamed in the night, just like his sharp incisors. Calixte felt a shiver run down his spine. Silence enveloped the man and the two beavers, who stood upright on their hind legs simultaneously. The dull roar of the storm had vanished. Calixte felt hypnotized by the two animals, who suddenly seemed to have doubled in size. He now felt small. Nature was waiting for his answer. You have my word. Your promise is recorded, said Berkov solemnly. Honor it. If you want the mill to be eternally protected from the wrath of the Bera River, little Miller. Brick and Berkov dove like lightning to join the aquatic ballet. The river was now spilling into the garden. The water level, which had stabilized for a few minutes, began to recede, as indicated by the floating nutrias. The safety drains were no longer spewing water. As they worked, the beavers laughed and sang. The lightning grew less frequent. A steady, heavy rain took its place, rocking the estate with its soothing rhythm. In the midst of this incredible spectacle, Calixte was overcome with joy. Bravo! Thank you! You've saved my mill. It's incredible. Thank you. Brick, now swimming on his back, called out to Calixte. You made a promise, Calixte. We'll all benefit from this arrangement, right? I vow to protect you and ensure you are protected. Tonight, you have become the mill's angels. I will be eternally grateful to you. We're glad to hear that, Calixte. We'll always be here. One last little thing, though. Don't tell anyone what just happened. It's our secret. Besides, they'd think you're crazy. Then again, ahaha, I'm just kidding.
The beaver dived and disappeared, along with the 100 others around him. A few hours later, the sun rose. Alone, Calixta was still sitting on the jetty. The basin's waters were now completely calm. The rain had stopped. Many pieces of debris still floated on the surface. As he gazed at the banks damaged by the night storm, he wondered if it had all been a dream. The storm, the tempest, the flood, the conversations with the beavers, their improbable help. Were all these events real? He heard the distant voices of his wife and his two daughters. They were running toward him, waving excitedly.
"Calixt!" his wife called out. "Dad, are you okay? We were so scared for you. Did you manage to handle it all on your own?"
"But Dad, how did you make all these dams?" asked Anne, gazing at the pond.
"My dear, nature and its armies can give everything, but they can also take it all away. Last night, it spared us."
Marie, his second daughter, took his hand.
"Dad, I don't understand what you're saying. Are you sure you're all right? Come inside to warm up. You must be starving too."
Calixte was happy. He glanced at the entrance to the Bastide, thinking back to his conversations with Brick, Brock, and Berkov. As he headed toward the entrance of the mill, Calixte said tenderly to his wife,
"You know, I don't eat meat anymore. An omelet will do."
"Well, well, Calixta, I don't know what happened here last night, but for you to give up meat, it must have been serious." Marie-Thérèse laughed. On the other side of the pond, the three beavers were observing the family scene. As for them, a small branch to gnaw on was enough for breakfast. Floating on his back, belly to the air, Berkov turned to Brick.
"Brick, don't you think the weeping willow at Wolf's Bridge is a bit too big? I think its roots are messing with the river. Don't you have something to do over there?"